Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hour number four. Yes. I thought I'd bring a little energy to the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Josh Rountree. It's the Fan Evening Show. Joel, have you seen Super Bowl ticket prices?
I don't know if I want to know.
What's your dream sporting event to go to? Like, pick the team scenario. What's your dream sporting events that you would want to go to?
Probably a Steelers Super Bowl, if not, well, even a Pirates World Series in Pittsburgh. Blackout, everything. Because, like, that's something you can only dream of right now, right? Penn State in, like, the national championship or something, you know.
What's
Penn
your
State football?
All right, so, like, let's stay with Penn State. What is your, let's say Penn State goes to the national championship game. This could theoretically be a once in a lifetime thing for you.
Right. And that's why
what's the price that you would be willing to pay?
It's once in a lifetime. Possibly, like you said. So, I mean, this has to be
a couple thousand.
Two grand, three grand.
Yeah.
Probably something like that.
I have a buddy who is a diehard, I mean, diehard Bills fan, like, has jumped through tables, mafia.
Sounds like a Bills fan, diehard Bills fan.
Yeah. Yeah. His son, who's like 2 years old now, two something years old, he talks about Josh Allen all the time. Like, big time Bills guy. All right. He was going to go to the Super Bowl if the Bills made it. He had full intentions of going to the Super Bowl. And I said to him, I was like, bro, do you know how much tickets are? He was under the impression they'd be like a couple grand. And I'm like, okay. Diehard fan. I could get on board with $4,000 for two tickets to the Super Bowl. That wouldn't even cover one ticket right now. One ticket before fees and taxes and all that on StubHub right now, $4,859 for the Super Bowl for one ticket. Basically, 10 grand for two tickets. And that is at the very, very top of the stadium. And I was looking at this the other day and I was like, man, who can do this? And it's not even that. It's the travel to get there. It's the hotel, which, you know, that hotel prices are out of this world around Arizona leading up to the Super Bowl. You're probably talking, if you're going to stay there even 2 days, a grand probably for the hotel. You're talking 10 grand for the tickets. Probably round trip, your best bet is what, for two people, another $1,000 for the flight, maybe more given how much plane tickets are right now.
Especially if it's all the way from the East Coast, Philadelphia.
Right. I mean, you're talking at the end of the day, $15,000 to $20,000 probably to go to the Super Bowl. It's just, and I saw Donnie Football tweet about this last night where he's like, I don't even want to go to a Super Bowl anymore. for a long time, I was like, that is like my dream sporting event is the Super Bowl. And now like, I kind of agree with Donnie. Now, if I was getting sent out there by the fan, which that would be great. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon because I don't think the Steelers are going to be in the Super Bowl anytime soon. But if they were to send me out and put me up and I would go cover it, hell yeah, I'm going to the Super Bowl. That's great. I don't think I'd pay to go. I certainly wouldn't pay these prices to go. I love the Super Bowl party. You get some pizza, some wings, some beer. And like, you just hang out. And then when the game, you know, you have the commercials. Like, you don't get to see any of the commercials when you're there. The halftime show stinks in person. It's tailored for TV. You know, unless you're extremely wealthy, that you're going to be sitting a really long ways away from the field. You're not going to have a great view. To me, it's like so many other big sporting events now. It's just priced out so many people. Like the Penguins have priced out a lot of people. Like when they moved from the arena, the old arena, the Civic Arena, to PPG Paints, they upped their prices in the lower level, and a lot of folks that had season tickets for a long time had to go to the top, and a lot of them just gave them up because they didn't want to have to be moved. And that's, I kind of feel for the average sports fan now. It's become this elitist event, the Super Bowl. It's more about the extremely wealthy who, sure, there's some Chiefs fans out there, some Eagles fans out there, I'm sure, that have a ton of money, that are diehard fans that are going out there. I think more than anything, the majority of people are going to be extremely wealthy that have casual interests in the game. They're going because it's the Super Bowl. They're going because they have a ton of money and they're from Philadelphia and they want to show that they went to the Super Bowl. It's not exactly about being the diehard fan going to the Super Bowl anymore.
You think about when we totaled up the, you know, rough estimate of the ticket, airfare, hotel, all of that. I mean, that's almost, for some people, 1 year's worth of salary going on one weekend.
I know. And then there's no guarantee that you're going to have a good time. Your team could lose by 40 points. I remember when the Seahawks crushed the Broncos? Imagine you went all the way from Denver. That game was in New York, I believe.
Correct.
Denver all the way to New York. You pay all that money, thousands of dollars. You get to the Super Bowl and your team gets absolutely blown out. That's got to be like the worst feeling that you can have.
At least they got it, what, 2 years later? So
they did.
It softens the blow a little bit.
But if you spent your money going to that Super Bowl, what if you didn't have enough for the one that they actually won? Then you're feeling even worse, potentially. I mean, you're happy that your team won the Super Bowl, but my God, you've spent all of your money. I was looking at a college football team that I root for. They were in contention for a while to maybe make the playoff. I started looking at ticket prices for the championship game, started scouting it out. That was in LA, and it was same deal. It was going to be thousands and thousands of dollars to get out there and to go to the game. The Super Bowl, though, is just at, like, the NFL in general is tailored to be on TV now. The Super Bowl in particular is absolutely catered to the TV watcher, not the in-person experience. I've heard from people that are like, yeah, it's just fine. It wasn't great, the actual experience there. I know people that went to the Super Bowl 43, the Steelers won, of course, in Tampa. And they were like, it was a football game. I think you're better off going to like the conference championship game than watching the Super Bowl from home.
That's if those conference championship games are still at the higher seeds
stadium. I think they have to. I think the NFL has to keep them at the higher seed stadium.
Yeah.
I think it's a terrible idea. I know it could be a revenue booster for the NFL, but at some point, like, aren't you just compromising what makes the playoffs, what makes the regular season even special? It's
home
something
field
to play
advantage.
For. Right. It's home field advantage that you're playing for during the regular season. Make that a little special. You're also going to tell the team that gets the one seed, that they get one playoff game at home in the playoffs. That's not right to me. I didn't like that idea from the start, really. I understand there was a unique situation with DeMar Hamlin that made that happen this year, but I didn't love it from the start. And, man, I certainly do not like it going forward. I think that's an awful idea for the NFL. When we come back, I want to talk about some Pitt basketball. How about that? How about them apples? Jeff Capel's got the team down there rolling. They're playing well. They have a big, big game tomorrow night. Yours truly will be in attendance for Pitt and North Carolina. I'm very excited about that. I've never been to a game at North Carolina. Full disclosure, when I was just a pup, I rooted for North Carolina. They were a team that I liked very much. Not really anymore, but they were a team that I liked very much as a kid, but I never went to a game there, and I will tomorrow night, so I'm looking forward to that. But we want to talk about Jeff Capel and the job that he's done and maybe kind of the future here for Pitt basketball when we come back. I'm Josh Rountree. This is the Fan Evening Show.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ah, it's been fun. Been a fun night closing out January here on the Fan Evening Show. Josh Rountree with it. You can follow me on Twitter. Shameless plug. JROWN32 is my Twitter handle. Appreciate you tuning in. Our Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township. You can visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. Going to talk in about 10-15 minutes to Noah Strackbine from SI.com covering the Steelers. He's down in Mobile at the Senior Bowl. As he is, I feel like I might have called it the Sun Bowl earlier. I just had the Sun Bowl on my mind. I might have mistakenly said Sun Bowl. I think maybe not. Senior Bowl is where both Alan Saunders, who we talked to earlier, and Noah Strackbine are. So we're going to talk some Steelers with Noah in a little bit. But first, I want to talk about Pitt basketball. Obviously, a really good week for them. Kind of started rocky on Saturday, I guess, with that loss to Florida State at home. It was such a big game, you felt like, coming into that. They had won back-to-back. They had just blown out Louisville. They beat Georgia Tech on the road. Two road wins. They come home, Florida State, they lose by 7. Florida State is, I think, a better team than maybe they had played before that. I think that they're going to be pretty good. Pitt has to play them again on the 11th. February here, but they come back after that. They storm back and win a couple of games. They beat Wake Forest by two. They beat Miami, 20th ranked in the country now, by three. And all of a sudden, you're starting to maybe believe that it's happening here. There's a lot left for Pitt. There's nine games remaining. It's not lost on me that nine games can shape and break and make a season in a hurry. These nine games are crucial. There's no question about it. They haven't clinched anything. They haven't wrapped up anything. They're not firmly off of that bubble yet. They are certainly on it. Most bracketologies, if you look at it right now, have them at either a 10 or an 11 seed. They win tomorrow night at North Carolina. I think they go up to maybe an 8 seed. Like, it could be that big of a shift for them that they bounce up. It could also get them into the top 25. And if you're in the top 25 and you stay in the top 25, you're in the dance. North Carolina on the road tomorrow night, that's going to be tough. Tough place to play. Yeah, they beat them once. It was a two-point game at home. Carolina was ranked at the time. That was part of those back-to-back wins right after Christmas over Carolina and Virginia. After that, you have Louisville at home. That should be a win, no question. They are the worst Power 5 team in college basketball. Then you go on the road at Florida State if you're Pitt. Again, that's challenging. But at home against Boston College, on the road at Virginia Tech, home against Georgia Tech, home against Syracuse, all of those games should be winnable. Boston College, Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech, Syracuse. Pitt should win all four of those games. They're going to have to, I think, win all four of those games. Because there's probably at least another 2 to 3 losses coming in their schedule if you just look at it on paper. Could they run it? Maybe. I think most likely the final nine games, their best bet is probably like 6-3. That puts them at 21-10. It puts them at 14-6 in the ACC. That should be enough to get them in the NCAA tournament. I think you win 21 games and you go 14-6 in your conference in the ACC. I know it hasn't been a great year for the ACC, but they're still projecting them to get seven teams at least into the tournament. You go 14-6 in the ACC, you should be dancing. And Pitt should be in at that point, especially with ranked wins over North Carolina, Virginia, Miami already under their belt. I like this team a lot, though. I really do. It's not just that they're successful. It's not just that they're winning. They're legitimately fun to watch. And I like that about this Jeff Capel team. They're not – and look, there have been some great Pitt teams in the past that have been great to watch. There's also been some good Pitt teams in the past that have been not the most fun basketball to watch. Like, I don't think Virginia, for instance, even though they've won a national championship and no one's complaining on how you get that done, but I don't think Virginia is super fun to watch. They don't really score the basketball. They like to grind out long possessions. Pitt, though, is different. They can shoot. They can get to the rim. They're athletic. They have exceptional guard play with Jamarius Burton leading that group. Blake Hinson, I think, has had a really, really great year for them. I love what he does with just his size, his power, his ability to shoot. I like this team. I think that they're a super watchable group. And I'm excited about what they can do. Did you, Joel, did you see the projection? And you're a Penn State guy. The projection of what could happen in Dayton, Pitt and Penn State.
Trust me. I know. I've seen these projections.
Pitt and Penn State and Dayton would be something.
This is like the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, like it's affordable. The travel is easy.
Yep. Oh, I'll be going to that.
That might be there too.
I can assure you I'll be credentialed or I'll pay my way in. Yep. One way or another, I would go out for Pitt Penn State in Dayton for the first four.
That's only, what, 4 hours or so?
Yeah, I think something like that. Just maybe 3.5.
Easy day trip.
Yeah. That said, I think if you're a Pitt fan, you have to be hoping that you're not in that game, right? You don't want to have to start your March Madness there as an 11 seed or a 12 seed or whatever and try to battle your way, win an extra game. That would be great. It would be great theater. I'm sure that the TV folks would absolutely love Pitt Penn State in March Madness. I saw a projection. It was Pitt and Penn State in the play-in game, the first four. The winner got St. Mary's. The winner of that got the winner of someone and TCU. And I thought, oh, baby, there's a storyline there too. You'd have Jamie Dixon against his former team in March Madness for the first time since he left.
And that would be for a Sweet 16 spot on the line?
Yeah, that would be for the trip to the Sweet 16. They honored that 20th anniversary of the Big East champs the other day. And I was talking to some folks, and as everybody knows, it's no secret. Like, I travel with the Pitt women's team. I'm the play-by-play broadcaster, so I'm semi-intertwined there with Pitt Athletics. But I was telling folks, because we have a lot of people that didn't grow up here that work with the staff there, I was telling them, like, there was a time here in Pittsburgh where Pitt basketball was the show. It was the ticket to have. More so than a Steelers game, more so than a Penguins game, certainly more so than a Pirates game. Pitt basketball was probably the hardest ticket to get your hands on in Pittsburgh. And this is probably even like a little bit for a while, like a little bit before the online secondary market even existed. And that made it really hard to get a Pitt ticket because it was sold out. So you had to go find a scalper. Those early 2000s teams, like, you had to go find a scalper. You had to, like, maybe go on eBay for a while and try to buy some tickets. Anybody that's been going to sporting events for a while that's bought resale tickets knows the dangers of trying to buy tickets on eBay. True story, I bought a ticket to the Stanley Cup Final on eBay the year the Penguins beat the Red Wings. One ticket I bought off a guy. I had to meet him at a Dairy Queen in the South Hills, and I bought it for $150, one ticket to Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final. Penguins won. It was a great time, but I enjoyed it by myself. But there was a time where Pitt basketball was it. And look, I don't know that any sporting event, and this isn't just a Pitt thing, I don't know that any sporting event or team is ever going to get back to that point, because I don't think that people are, particularly here in Pittsburgh, it seems like, consuming sports live the way that they used to, where now I think it's much easier to get tickets. It's probably easier than it's been in a very long time to get tickets to see any of the teams here. There are more empty seats at sporting events across the board, even when teams are successful and winning, like the Penguins have been. There are more empty seats than there ever have been. Part of that is financially based reasons. Part of that is, I think, the convenience of being able to watch it on TV and how good that has gotten from a viewership standpoint. But I think Pitt could get back to a point where the Pete is sold out and loud every single night, or at least every single Saturday. That's a good place to start. The big question for Jeff Capel is, A, how do you finish this season? You got 9 games remaining. You probably need to win 6 of those 9 to have a shot at the tournament. Very doable, but not a given. You got to finish strong. Even if you don't, maybe you get a shot at the NIT, which I think if you would have told most Pitt fans before the season, you're going to go to the NIT, maybe you have a chance at making a really deep run at the NIT, I think a lot of Pitt fans would have said, you know what? That's a pretty good year. It's maybe not the ultimate, but it's a pretty good year. I think a lot of Pitt fans would have signed up for that. But the bar has started to be raised a little bit. And I think Pitt fans now are feeling like there's a real chance to get back to March Madness. And I think, if you ask me, would you rather have 1 game in March Madness, or would you rather have 6 games in the NIT? Maybe if I'm getting paid on a per-game basis to cover the team, I might want the NIT. But I think from a fan standpoint, I think you certainly want them to go to March Madness and play, even if it's just one game. To get that team back in March Madness would be significant. And they have a chance. They have a chance because they have really good guard play. Really, their four leading scorers, five leading scorers now, are kind of guards. Hinson's a forward, I think, listed as, but he sort of plays a hybrid role. I think they have a real shot at making it. And if you make it, who knows? Good guard play can carry you a long, long ways in a tournament. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Noah Strackbine joins us from SI.com. We'll talk with him about the Steelers. We get his thoughts. He is down at the Senior Bowl down in Mobile, Alabama. So we'll get Noah's thoughts on that when we come back. I'm Josh Roundtree. It's a Fan Evening Show.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You can text us on the Edgar Center and Associates fan text line. That's 412-928-9370. Edgar Center and Associates reminds you to text responsibly. And the fan hotline is presented by Nemacolin. Around every corner, Nemacolin creates real-life magic for guests. And our next guest joins us on the fan hotline presented by Nemacolin, and that is our pal Noah Strackbine from SI.com. Noah, how are things down in Mobile, Alabama?
They are beautiful. Outside of sunburn, and I'm talking a lot of sunburn, can't get any better, my friend.
Now, we talked to Alan Saunders earlier, and he said that he got a little bit of sunburn, but not as bad as others. And I'm guessing that you are among the others. Is that correct?
I think I am the highlight of the others. Oh. I shaved my head for the first time in my entire life 3 days before I came down here. My scalp was not ready for sun for its first time like this. But it's all right. It's worth it. When it's not snowing outside, I'll take what I can get.
Yeah, I would definitely maybe go pick up a hat at some point in the next in the next few hours here. What have been your I know it's only been day one. There's only so much they do on day one. There's measurements and things like that, some on-field activities. But what were your takeaways? What did you notice down there? What did you see down there? Anything stand out in particular on day one down there in Mobile?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that stood out was I think the Steelers are genuinely interested in the big men down here. You know, I talked to Osiris Torrance out of Florida, and he said that Tomlin was joking with the offensive and defensive linemen as he was watching them, saying he just likes watching the big guys because that's where all the action is. And it really is. That's where he spent, I would say, a good chunk of his day, is observing the offensive linemen and then the offensive linemen versus defensive linemen drills. But it really does seem, I mean, you got to feel last year that the Steelers were into quarterbacks. You got a feel the year before that they were into Najee Harris and the running backs. And this year you kind of get a feel that, or at least early, they really do. They have their eyes set on a couple of O-linemen down here.
Noah, does that surprise you in any way? Because when Art Rooney spoke last week, he made a couple of comments that made it seem like, you know, generally the offense had some younger guys, but they were pleased with the way that they were going. But he sort of seemed to maybe tip a cap a little bit and say that maybe perhaps defense was a bigger concern and filling some spots on the defensive side. Are you surprised at all to see day one them be so interested then with the offensive side of the ball after the owner kind of talked about the defensive side?
Yes and no. I think I took away that Art Rooney felt there really did need to be some improvement on the offensive line. I think he felt that they took a really strong step forward last season, as they did. But I looked at it and thought that you could kind of tell by the way he said things that he understands there's more progress to be made. So I think that it doesn't really surprise me that offensive line is very high on their list. Especially when you look at this draft class and who's down here right now. You know, defensive linemen are big, and they're obviously a need for the Pittsburgh Steelers, but they're not really a hot commodity in the first and second round of the NFL draft. So offensive linemen, if you can find a guy that's a big name that could go in the first around that 17, I think you spend a little time down here and you see if that's the guy.
Noah, looking at the draft as a whole, do you feel like there's the potential that they could – maybe make a splash and move up or move back for a certain player? Like, do you think that's in play? Or, the last time they obviously made a huge jump up and ended up in a guy that's become a massive bust for them in Devin Bush. Is there a player you feel like could intrigue them to maybe move up and get? Or do you feel like, you know, Omar Khan first draft as a GM, that he maybe plays it a little bit conservative?
Yeah, I think that Omar might play it a little, you know, risky, but I think it's moving back instead of moving up. If I had to take a guess on how the Steelers are kind of looking at this draft, I would say that there's not a go-get-em type of guy. Even if Devin Bush didn't work out, at the moment he was a go-get-em type of guy. And the Steelers knew they needed an inside linebacker, and they went up and they got him, and they were trying very hard to replace Ryan Shazier. It just didn't work out. But this year, I would say if all the corners were gone, if Kelee Ringo was gone and Christian Gonzalez and Joey Porter Jr. was sitting there just a couple of picks early and the Steelers felt like that's our guy, we have to go get him, then maybe. But I think they're going to fall into a situation where they're going to look at it and say, there's a lot of guys on our board. We could start taking some phone calls, see if we could even add another pick. And I honestly wouldn't be surprised if Omar Khan kind of pulled off a little bit of magic and impressed the fans with adding another early round draft pick and only moving back a couple of spots.
Yeah, I think that would be a very wise move too for the Steelers if they could somehow make that work. Speaking of corners, Noah, how are the corners going to shake out with this team? There's obviously Cam Sutton, who's, you know, potentially going to be entering free agency if they can't get him under a contract. Akella Witherspoon, William Jackson, Levi Wallace, all, you know, question marks there. I mean, Wallace maybe a little bit more solid than the others, and William Jackson has that huge contract that they're going to have to try to, you know, erase or redo or what have you. But how do you feel like it shakes out? Do you think Sutton comes back? Do you think they maybe look elsewhere for corner help, or is it just the draft and then going with what they have internally?
I think if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I think they do feel this way about Cam Sutton, there's no way you could let that guy go. I think that he is the top of their priority list. And just like last time, I believe that they would want to get a deal done before free agency even starts. Because you look at their past with cornerbacks, and even the guys that they tried to bring in this year and solidify that group, Cam Sutton is the only one that really worked out. And they understand how valuable he is as a versatile piece that can move inside and outside, play a little bit of dime. If you needed to, in a worst case scenario, he could go play safety with ease. They understand who Cam Sutton is. So I see him coming back. I be Levi Wallace playing a pretty prominent role next season, even if he's not a starter. And then my guess would be Akello Witherspoon is also still on the roster with an opportunity to gain some playing time. I don't think that they keep William Jackson. That contract's just too big. And from the sense of it, it just kind of feels like they took a chance. It didn't work out. It wasn't a really big risk. They can move on from him. But I would say that outside of offensive linemen, it would really shock me if the Steelers didn't draft a corner in those first three picks to try and find that guy next to Cam Sutton and start to build something in the cornerback room.
Talking with Noah Strackbine. On the other side of the ball, Noah, I look at this team and their number one wide receiver did not have any touchdowns this year. Now, part of that is quarterback play. Part of that is his own play. Their number two wide receiver, or maybe you can call him number one, in George Pickens, was very flashy at times, but probably needs to become more consistent. After that, I don't really know what they have as far as receivers go. They'll get Calvin Austin back, but we don't know who he is and what he can do on a football field. Do they need to add to that receiver group, and what kind of receiver do you think they need to add?
Yeah, I do think they need to add to it. I think they need to get somebody that they could feel very confident in at slot. And I don't think it needs to be a big splash move. It could be somebody that they just feel fills the role, maybe even if it's just short-term, to see what they have in Calvin Austin before they make a final decision there. But I do think that right now that team, you know, if you have Deontay Johnson, you're not going to turn your back on Deontay Johnson. You have George Pickens, a developing star, and you have a bunch of other moves around him, and I think those moves are valuable. Gunnar Olszewski and Miles Boykin actually played good roles in run blocking this year. But you need to go out and find somebody, and I think the Steelers understand that. Even if it's not a big splashy move, I do think it's on their priority list.
What about Terrell Edmunds? I thought he had a pretty solid year overall. I think he's had a couple of decent years in general, and I think he's an easy target because he was a first-round pick, and I know a lot of fans maybe are down on him at times, but I think he's become a fairly reliable player for them. I'd like to see him back, but what's that market going to be like for his safety, and do you think they could maybe work something out that they could bring him back once again, given all all that they have as far as contract commitments on the defensive side of the ball already?
Yeah, the thing about Terrell Edmunds that works out for the Steelers but doesn't really work out for Terrell Edmunds is that the safety market is always really bad for the players, but it's always very good for the teams. You know, a couple of years ago, Tyrann Mathieu signed for pretty much nothing late in the offseason, and since then it's been a trend where guys just aren't going for a lot of money at that position, unless you're a Minkah Fitzpatrick, a Derwin James, those kind of guys. But I think Terrell Edmunds is going to be cheap, and I think he's going to understand that. And this time around, he might be looking for just a little bit more long-term security, which works out in favor of the Steelers. Somebody tossed out a number of 4 years, roughly $16 million, and my first thought was I think that fits perfectly for both sides. It gives Terrell Edmunds, you know, 4 years to stick with a team, become a part of this defense long-term, and not have to worry about things anymore. And it gives the Steelers their starting safety on a pretty cheap contract, and I think they want Terrell Edmunds back. I mean, Minkah and him have a connection. Terrell has obviously grown. Even if he's not a superstar, he's a starting quality safety. I think you can't go wrong as long as the contract works out more for the Steelers than it does Edmunds.
I saw, and forgive me, I'm not sure if it was you who tweeted this or somebody else, but I heard that at the Senior Bowl, Mike Tomlin spent a long time looking at punters today. Is that accurate? And what's the deal with that? Are the Steelers maybe in the punter market after, you know, kind of a roller coaster ride with Presley Harvin the last couple of years?
I don't know. You want to say yes, right? You want to say that they're in the market for a punter and that Mike Tomlin talking to a punter for a while. And you're right. I wasn't the one who tweeted that out. It was Alan Saunders, actually.
Okay.
But he was dead on. I was sitting with him when he tweeted it out. And Tomlin spent a good 15 minutes talking to these punters. And maybe that does mean that the Steelers are in the market for a punter. And I think they should be. If one falls to them as an undrafted free agent, you know, Presley Harvin, in my mind, has not solidified anything as a long-term solution for a punter or a long-term option for the Steelers at punter. But when it goes to Tomlin talking to these guys for 15 minutes, you know, sometimes Mike Tomlin just does things. And you don't know why he does them. And I don't think we'll ever know why he does them. And, you know, talking to a punter for 15 minutes just kind of felt like, yeah, maybe Mike Tomlin just wanted to go talk to a punter, you know?
It's probably so that some jagoff in Pittsburgh and a sports radio station would ask about punters. And there's really no interest there at all. He's just kind of messing with us. That could be very true. Noah, appreciate your time as always, man. Great stuff down there in Mobile. We'll be looking forward to reading more of your work down there at the Senior Bowl. And aloe vera, my friend, it is your friend right now.
Yes, it is top of the bucket list on top of the hat. But thank you. I appreciate it as always.
All right, Noah Strackbein joining us. Thanks to him for stopping by as he is down at the Senior Bowl right now. Yeah, the sun got Allen a little bit, but it sounded like it got Noah a hell of a lot more. So condolences to Noah's burning scalp. Why he shaved his head before going to sit in the sun, that seems maybe like a questionable idea. But no, Noah's awesome. He and I, a lot of fun covering the Steelers. Want to talk more about Mike Tomlin if you're up late here. Well, I guess it's not that late. It's 9:58. But if you want to jump into the conversation, I'd be happy to open up the phone lines. Whatever you want to talk about, we'll open them up completely. But we've been talking a lot about Mike Tomlin throughout the course of the night. And if you want to jump in on this potential contract extension, Jerry Dulac saying today that Mike Tomlin's likely to get an extension. The Steelers, quote, don't anticipate that changing anytime in the near future as far as their head coaching position goes. And he says, quote, no matter what their record. Does that concern you at all, that the Steelers could potentially have a poor record and they'll stay by their head coach, status quo for the organization? Does that bother you at all? Let me know. 412-928-9370. I'm Josh Roundtree. It's the Fan Evening Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.